Okay, this week's parasha, Parashas Yisro. I don't necessarily prepare the shmooze until today, Erev Shabbos, but last Shabbos I had the exclusive learning with Lavi Greenspan with his Sefer, Mishnah Sefer Aaron, Al Torah. So it actually is a relatively recent Sefer that came out in Mishnah Sefer Aaron, but of course, Sefer Aaron Kotler is at Tzal, passed away many years ago, but it's a compilation of things on the Torah that's taken from the Mishnah Sefer Aaron, which Baruch Hashem I found in Mishnah Sefer Aaron, which I actually have. This piece, but it's actually part of a larger piece. Let's talk about Yisro for a second. The Torah tells us that Yisro came to the Midbar and he joined up with Klal Yisrael, and Rashi tells us that there's a tremendous amount of praise given to Yisro. Rashi tells us, El Midbar, Af on Yodim Shem Midbar Hayah. We know that they were in the Midbar. Why does the Torah stress the fact that Yisro met up with the Jewish people with Klal Yisrael in the Midbar? El B'Shivcho Shel Yisro. Dibra HaKosav, the Torah is trying to express and emphasize the praise given to Yisro. What's the praise? What's the great praise of Yisro? Shayoyishe b'chvodo shel olam. He was sitting as the most honorable person in the world. V'nidvo libo lotzeis esa midbar. Mokum tov lishmo dibra Torah. That he donated his heart, so to speak. He dedicated his heart to go out to the midbar, to a place of emptiness, to hear dibra Torah. So, the Torah certainly is stressing the tremendous praise given to Yisro. To emphasize that point, Ron Cutler also points out that we heard this past Sunday that the Medrash, that had Reuven know that he'd be written down in the Torah, right, he would have taken out Yosef on his shoulders, etc. So you see, being written in the Torah is huge. Just that diuk, that point. Had Reuven know he'd be written in the Torah. And Yisro here, he gets his own parasha. Unbelievable. Mamash his own parasha, his own name. And there's more. It's brought down that the Medrash tells us that in Sefer Dvarim, where it discusses that he's the love of Ger, the Medrash explains that it's like a deer that comes to the flock, and the shepherd takes a tremendous liking, a special liking to that to the deer. And even though he's been working so hard with its own, with the other sheep, but there's something very special about the deer. Why? Because the deer came on his own. There's something about coming on your own that deserves tremendous, that creates a certain bond. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. He shows, he's made, that's what he focuses on the fact that Yisro came to the Midbar. He's made, he's testifying that Yisro came to Shem Shemaim, and he commands Moshe to be Makari of him, and he gives him his own parasha. And we roll out the red carpet for Yisro, and we describe and we relate to Yisro in heroic fashion. And it brought down also, Bilam praised Yisro. Wow, he's so amazing that he did tshuva, that he came to join the Jewish people. And Yisro is given tremendous praise for what he did. But Ron Carlo asks a bomb question. He says, I don't understand. It says in the Mishnah of us, right? Kachi darka shel Torah, this is the way of Torah, pas melach tochel, b'mayim mitzvah tishta, eat bread and water, and eat you know, minimal amounts of water, b'al arat tishen, right? And if you do this, if a person lives a life of Torah, so then he's praised in this world and he's praised in the next world. So, ask the Baruch Hu, I don't understand, what is the great praise of Yisro? Right? Yisro was on top of the world. Right? That's very nice, but whose world was he on top of? He was on top of the non-Jews. He was the most chosen person, right? He's the biggest priest, right? I'm sure there are many stories like the biggest priest, he became a convert. And like, wow, I can't believe it. Look what he gave up, right? Or you see, we've been exposed to many Balei Tshuva, right? This past Sunday, apparently, I wasn't at the speech, but there was a guy who was on the cover of Ami Magazine. He used to be an actor and a model, and now he's a Belzer Chassid. Wow, look what he just gave up. And he asked him, what a tremendous thing that he gave up. He had everything in the world. And we actually, this year we're not going to hear from him. There's a Rebbe in Or Sameach who speaks about a student from Or Sameach that he was a producer. Actually, you guys have shown about it. Actually, he's making a chasna next week, so he won't be the speaker next Shabbos Shavuot Brochus. Right? He was eating steak for steak, and he was driving a Rolls Royce with the Mahogany thing, and this and that. And he asked, wow, what Mesiris Nefesh? What Mesiris Nefesh? But we say, what do you mean Mesiris Nefesh? Right? In the end of the day, Torah is Mesukim Midvash, it's sweeter than honey. Torah is Tumima, it's good in this world, it's good in the next world. So what's the great praise? Why are we praising the converts? Why are we praising the Balei Tshuva? What's the pshat? It doesn't make any sense. right? Because it's poshut. Yiddishkeit said it's so good. What's so great about it? So I think what Ryan Cutler said, this is how he answers. He says, that mission of us, it says it's praiseworthy in this world and praiseworthy in the next world. There's one very strong word over there, and one phrase. Imata osekein. If you do it, then you'll be praiseworthy in this world and next world. Meaning, before a person jumps into Yiddishkeit, it's very hard to really feel how great Yiddishkeit is, how great Torah Mitzvah is. The great praise for Yisro is that he left the pinnacle, the height of the leadership and kavod and fame and fortune in the outside non-Jewish world without tasting, without actually feeling what it means to do Torah and Mitzvahs. And that is a huge feat, and that is a huge accomplishment. You ask somebody who's a real Baal Tshuva, like all these people that we've heard from and so on and so forth, could they, the life of Torah and Mitzvahs, does it compare to what they had before? And they'll tell you it's poshut that it doesn't compare. It's poshut. You feel a life of purpose, and you feel close. Somebody, I was telling over this vort to somebody last night, happens to be a son-in-law of Nassim C. Finkelstein, and he was telling me, yeah, like Rav Steinman, people think, oh, wow, oy vey, he only ate two potatoes a day. Oh, he only had two cups of water a day. Oh, his heart was decrepit. Oh, what a sad life. You fool. He was a million times happier than all we were. He was living, this past week I was talking to David Segal, Shlita, who's the son of Don Segal, Shlita, who was very close to Rav Steinman. So he said Rav Steinman used to always laugh and joke. He was geschmack with them. Apparently Rav Don Segal, I'm trying to get a hold of it. He said a great hesped, because apparently he used to live in Bnei Brak. He used to daven by Rav Steinman quite often. But he was telling me, so this person had, first of all, his whole life was about Olam Haba. He was petrified. Right? That's I've heard the description many times. But Rav David Segal was telling me that he mamish lived, like as if he was mamish standing at the Yom HaDin after 120, his whole life. That's how he lived his whole life. Right, but so it is that here's somebody. So you tasted it. He didn't, right? Apparently, okay, it was about the shahako and the honey, whatever. He didn't, right? When his grandson would put too much honey into his breakfast mixture of oatmeal, he had big tinnitus on his grandson. He didn't want too much from Al-Haza. So you think, oh, he must have walked around like a depressed person. Pum fakert. On the contrary, he's the happiest person in the world. The happiest person. And he was hard on himself in terms of his ruchnias, but he was happy. First of all, it happens to be a mitzvah, if does Hashem b'simcha. And also, we know there's a mitzvah to be happy because it says by Rosh Chodesh Av, you're supposed to reduce the simcha, but you're always supposed to be in a mitzvah of the simcha. So he's for sure in a mitzvah of the simcha. So if we understand that Torah is, the living life of Torah is so geschmack and so amazing, so what was this great feat, this great Messiah's Nefesh Yisro did? The pshat is that until you taste, until you do it, you don't really feel that way. And that's a tremendous lesson of Mashiach's Nefesh. And Ronald Cutler goes on to give two examples. He says Yom Kippur, right? Yom Kippur, a person he's a little bit in pain. His body's in pain. He's hungry. But that little bit of discomfort, is there even a havamina that a person's going to go ahead and eat? It's totally not in the cards. So, and you don't feel bad. On the contrary, you'd feel worse if you ate. If chas v'shalom, rachman al-son, and also I'm sure we hear stories about people who aren't well, and the doctor makes them eat, and they're so upset, they feel ugh, they don't want to eat. So what? It doesn't make any sense. No, because when you're doing the right thing, when you're following the Torah and mitzvahs, it feels so much better than doing the wrong thing. It's not even in the realm of possibility, and even though there's a discomfort, meaning, that's also the pshat, I guess, in eating bread and drinking water only. It's not the pshat that, oh, wow, I'm missing out. On Yom Kippur, you're not missing out. There's no shaila. It's so much more enjoyable, even though there's a certain discomfort of eating, it's so much more enjoyable and so much more real and more obvious that there's no way in the world that you're going to eat. He says as well, the same idea in this week's parasha by Lo Sachmud. The famous question, how is it possible you can tell somebody not to be jealous? How can that be? How can human being not be jealous? So we know that Ibn Ezra explains with the mashal, Ibn Ezra explains that it's just like the peasant, farmer, right, who lives in the villager, has no inclination, and no havamina, no thought that he's going to marry the daughter of the king. So too, that's how clear it should be that whatever somebody else has, right, that's also totally not in my world. It's not shaykh mi b'chal. That's shat lo sachman. When there's certain clarity of reality in terms of when Ziras Hashem and the Hashgacha of Hashem, so then just like a person knows that if he's a villager, there's no way he's marrying daughter of a queen, so too, if I have, you know, just to put it in our terms, right, if I have a Honda and he has a Lexus, so what does it mean? That's the same exact level of clarity as the villager not marrying the princess. It's the same thing. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants me, this is what I have, this is what I have. And what he has is he has. It's so poshut. And then once you live like that, once you internalize those yisodos, it's no longer a nisayon. Then it's a joke. Meaning the pshat is when things are cloudy, when a person says, oh, you know what? Let's say it's like a minor fast day, right? Let's just imagine. Let's just try to understand this mashal a little bit better. Right, let's just say it's a nidche, and it's, I don't know, it's Shabbos or Tammuz, where if you're a little bit of a chola, I'm not passing halachas here. I'm saying, where it's possible, is lack of clarity, so like, oh, maybe I shouldn't, so it feels like, then you have like a little more of a confusion, a lack of clarity, and it feels funny. But if it's Yom Kippur, and you're feeling a little bit hungry, and it's not even the realm possibility, so of course, you go on, you feel fine about it. You know, it doesn't bother you. You follow what I'm saying? What I'm trying to say is that there's a certain certain elevated level of clarity in what's right. And therefore, nothing else even compares. Nothing else even enters into your psyche. The same thing over here by jealousy. If it's so poshut to a person that what he has is exactly what is prescribed, right? Just like when a person, right, person, this one has a strep, and this one has an ear infection, and it's two different medicines. Yeah, I can take his medicine. Same thing. When a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you X, and he gives him Y, whether it's in your capabilities, whether it's in your finances, whatever it is in life, right? If it's so clear, then it's not in the Sion, it's Pashut. It's Pashut that that's right. And once you break down that level of clarity, so that's when the new Sion starts. And that's exactly what happened to Yisro. Yisro didn't taste Yiddishkeit yet. So there's a lack of clarity. So going ahead and leaving Midian and leaving the top of the world to join the Jewish people, that at that stage in his life, when there was a lack of clarity, what it is that he's going getting himself into, that is an Nisayon. But for sure, once he jumped in, and once he started living the life of Torah, the same, and he internalized those, he internalized what it means to live a life of Torah, so just like the person who wouldn't think about even Yom Kippur, and just like the person who internalized the feeling of what's mine is mine, what his is his, and there's no confusion, so then you live a life of bliss. That's the pshat. When we say somebody in this world, somebody who follows the Torah, is living a world of bliss, it means because once you reach that level, when there's no distraction, everything is clear. Right, if a person mamash lives, if a person understands this nakuda, that the only thing that matters in this world is learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, being on welcome, being on the chavero, then it's pashut. Then everything is fine, and he doesn't feel bad. He soars. And I think I'd like to venture to say that Baruch Hashem, many people in this yeshiva, people who come through this yeshiva, internalize that and get that feeling, and it saves them for life. They look at other things outside of Limud HaTorah and Torah Mitzvahs, and they say, what's the point? And now I'm going to go a step further, and I hope I'm not stepping over my bounds to whoever's listening to this. But I was actually on the way here. I was listening to TorahAnytime.com, and I was started listening to a shiur by Eliezer Ginsberg. Sounds like he's speaking to not necessarily the Yeshiva Sha'olam, because he's talking in a more like a, you know, more a different dialect. And he started off the first few minutes reading a letter about the Super Bowl, about Super Sunday. And he was saying how, I think he was reading from one of the newspapers, in America, in the New York area, that's bemoaning the fact that, like, so many food establishments are harping on the food for the Super Sunday, and et cetera, et cetera. And if a person realizes, right, that in the end of the day, if a person has, I mean, this is a little bit harsh, and this is what I thought of before, and I remember this story, this mashal. Imagine, after 120, Kodesh Baruch Hu decides that there's this, you know, cemetery of people that he feels like they should get an extra half hour in this world to improve their situation in the next world, right? So, actually, this is one of Ray Krohn's Magid books, the Magid in Europe who did this. And basically, he gave a schmooze, and he told everybody that imagine you're in the Shemayim. And you're in the scales. You're not sure where you are. But they said, you know what? Everybody here has an half hour to come back to the world and improve their stature in Olam Haba. So this one would go. So what would you do? This one would go learn. This one would go do chesed. This one would go daven. It's poshut. So, right? And then he ended up saying, who knows how much more time they have in this world, right? Prison has another, who knows? Neil, that prison has another half hour, another hour, another 2 hours. Who knows? Somebody could guarantee, right? From 1 minute to the next, somebody can guarantee it. No way. So it's a little bit harsh to say this, but if a person has an hour left, should he watch some nice, you know, human beings that, you know, the Tzelem Elokim, they just happen to be, they're not our brothers, they're not Jewish people, they're nice human beings, okay, assuming they're nice, assuming they don't do any, you know, other things off the field that we wouldn't approve of, which I don't know, yes or no, let's assume that they're the nicest Bnei Noach around, and they're having the nicest cordial game. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, if you have 2 hours, and you can take 2, 3, 4 hours of time, and you could dedicate it to improving your stature in the next world and grabbing eternity, the same way Yisrael understood once he came, and, right, that it's poshut, right? He certainly understood once he came, it's poshut. Why did he come? He came to be part of us, to be part of Klal Yisrael, right? Imagine, what was he? He was mamash, the starting quarterback. If he had that, if the Torah describes him as being on top of the world, so he was the starting, he was the MVP of the Super Bowl, right? He was the MVP of the Super Bowl. And yet he said, guys, I'm leaving and I'm going to sit in base measures day and night to learn Torah. And we say, whoa, Mesiras Nefesh, Mesiras Nefesh. We say, what do you mean Mesiras Nefesh? Look, he's getting eternity, right? The MVP of the Super Bowl, it lasts a few hours, right? Not even, right? Where are you going? I'm going to Disney World. And then, that's it. It's over. You know, ask the MVP from 30 years ago. Oh, wow. Who cares? Do we even care who he is? No. I'm just trying to, again, it's a little bit heavy. But this is the Yisod. If you do it, if you live it, if you live a life of Torah Mitzvot, if you live a life of clarity, I'm not saying I'm pro Parnassa, I'm pro getting going out to work. I'm also pro Kola, but I'm also pro Parnassa. I'm pro relaxation. I'm pro. I'm not fanatic. I'm not. But and I understand. I can relate. You know, a person needs to relax. I mean, okay, I hear. But I think Super Sunday, I think, took on a bigger status since my day. I think it sounds like if every restaurant is advertising super this and super that and everything's about the food, everything, like who cares? I'm saying, okay, it's hard for me to relate. Baruch Hashem, I've graduated from not caring so much about sports. It took a long time for me personally, but let's understand something. And the only way, and I think this is another big point. You know, you look around in yeshiva, and you see, Baruch Hashem, certainly the guys that are here this morning, you understand, you've gotten to the point that you realize that this is it, there's nothing else, this is what's praiseworthy, right? The mission of us doesn't lie, it's not wrong, it says it's praiseworthy in this world and the next world. If you sit and learn, right, it's not torture. You guys came this morning to learn Be'iyun, Gemara Sukkah, 9:15 in the morning, 9:30 in the morning. Oh my gosh, must be torture. I feel so bad for you. No way. On the contrary, the guys who are sitting here learning B'iyun Sukkah on Friday morning, in my opinion, are having more benefit than the guys who went shopping. It's poshut to me. It's poshut to me. And that's the Yisod. And I'll just add another Nakuda. I remember hearing from Frank Waxman Shlita on one of his Shavuos drushes. He said over the following story. He was on a bus and he was sitting next to a Chiloni young boy. And they're talking about Shabbat. Shabbat, and he said, listen, Shabbat Yom Menucha, Shabbat is the day of rest. You know how I think I the best way to observe the day of rest? I go to the beach. That's my Shabbat Menucha, and I'm right, and you're wrong. How do you know, he turns to Waxman, you're right. Maybe I'm right. So Waxman turned to me and he said, you know why I know that I'm right? Because I've experienced both. I know what it means to relax on the beach. And I also know what it means to have a proper Shabbos. And I know that relaxing on the beach doesn't even compare 1/1,000,000th to a proper Shabbos. But you've never experienced real Shabbos. So you can't say that your way of doing the rest, your resting on the beach, is better than observing Shabbos. Because you've never experienced it. It's the same Yisod. When a person goes ahead, and I'm not saying I'm perfect, you know, I'm not saying I do everything right. We all have our Nisyonos, we all struggle. But at least the framework, you understand what's right and what's valuable in life and what's wrong. And then it's poshut. Okay, there's still nisyonos. Again, it's not. Oh, I realized that the most important thing is learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. Ah, finished. Life is smooth. Okay, it takes a lot of effort. But at least you understand, right? You get to a certain level and you realize, what? Who needs that? Who needs it? Mamish. Like if Steinman obviously hit, you know, he reached the highest level, right? He would look at some extra honey in his porridge, in his oatmeal, and he'd be like, who needs it? Okay. Mamish, who needs it? And he also lived with the Olam Haba in his face. Like, and the other story, I think I've probably said it over, but right, his wife wanted to do maybe a slight renovation on the kitchen, and he said, by all means, you can do it. But just know, whatever luxuries we have in this world takes away from the next world. So, but it's not the child he suffered. On the contrary, he's the happiest person. The same thing. Who needs it? Who needs? He had, right, I heard, two potatoes. He came to England, he had two potatoes for lunch. He would even brought his own pots, right? Let's serve you the most delicious meal. Who needs it? And I'm not saying you have to be a parish. I'm not saying that bichlal. I'm just saying that a person has to live life really with a tremendous amount of clarity. What's valuable? What's important in life? And if you and don't misquote me, I'm not saying that everybody here should, it would be nice if you went and sat and learned in Kuddle. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. But I'm not saying anything wrong about going to school and getting a profession and getting a pranasa and taking that seriously. But of course, but with a very clear understanding of what's important, what's the ikker and what's tafel, and what's valuable and what's not valuable, and what's right and what's wrong. And that's really, so therefore, certainly with Yisrael, there was a tremendous amount of shevach because he didn't feel it yet. So then it was in Yisrael. But then once you jump into it, like everybody here in this room, that you realize you're learning, you're davening, you're ben olam lakum, ben olam chavero, and you look at other people, you say, Nebuch, Rachmana Litzlan, if a guy comes to the yeshiva, a guy lives through life, and he just doesn't get it until he's 120, he's like, oh yeah, life was, okay. Yeah, Yiddishkeit was okay. You fool, Nebuch on you. Unless you actually live it, you won't feel it. Rabbi Yisai, I give you a tremendous shevach that you, I'm sure you had a lack of clarity at some point in your life, and you, Baruch Hashem, jumped in, and now you should continue feeling the bliss of being an Ever Hashem. Admei Avesim Shana, have a great Shabbos. Mm-hmm.